This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Phoebe Judge. The Hatfields and the McCoys are two of the most well-known American families. Their legendary feud ended more than a century ago, but continues to capture the American imagination to this day.
Surely thou shalt slay the wicked, O God! Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men!
And fire!
Do not I hate them that hate thee, O Lord? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies.
That's a clip from Hatfield and McCoys, a 2012 miniseries on the History Channel starring Kevin Costner as the Hatfield patriarch. But despite this continued media attention, direct descendants of the feuding families have been working to reunite and bring forward a new chapter of their story to the American public. Ron McCoy is the great-great-great-grandson of Randolph McCoy, the patriarch of the McCoy family at the time of the feud. His new book, Reunion, documents his own journey to connect with the past and his ongoing attempt to bring the families together. Ron joins me in the studio now. Ron, welcome to the State of Things.
Thank you, Phoebe.
I'm also joined by Rio Hatfield, a direct descendant of the Hatfield patriarch at the time of the feud. He joins us from a studio in Charlottesville, Virginia. Welcome, Rio.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Ron, let's start with you. You grew up with no knowledge of your connection to the feuding families, right?
Yes, ma'am. That's correct. My father was the first generation of McCoys not born in Pike County, Kentucky. He was career military, and I spent most of my youth overseas. Lived in Italy and Holland and Japan. Did not come back to the States until I was 16. My grandfather at the time was terminally ill and passed away a few months after. So I did not get to know him well, but he was born and raised in Pikeville, Kentucky, and loved Eastern Kentucky, lived in North Carolina 35 years, and still considered Kentucky his home. So that always sort of stayed with me in the back of my mind. My father also passed away a few years later of cancer. So for me, there was a real disconnect with family. And when I was about 35 years old, I just decided to investigate and learn more, no matter what it was, find out more about my family.
And how did you find out about the connection?
My grandfather had a book that his aunt had written. She was a school teacher in the 1920s. She wrote a book that was published well after her death in 1976. He had a copy of this book, and I had a vague recollection that this book called The McCoys existed. And I had a telephone call with my sister and just mentioned it to her casually. And she said, I have that book. So I got the book from her, and in the back of the book was a comprehensive genealogy. And there was a piece of paper that was an addendum that was paper clipped. And that piece of paper had my grandfather's name on it. Had that paper not been there, I would not even made the connection then. And so within minutes, I saw my grandfather, his father before him, generations of family I knew nothing about. The book said nothing about Hatfield and McCoys, nothing about the feud. I started reading the book, and it was quite an epiphany that not only was I related, but I was the direct descendant of the patriarch.
Rio, you grew up in West Virginia around many other descendants. What was your understanding of the feud growing up?
Well, it was a lifetime of hearing everything about the feud, and it was a lot of entertainment as well, because a lot of people talked about it every day in West Virginia. It was something that was just a known factor in West Virginia. So I grew up hearing about it often, and it was, for the most part, it was talking about the reaction or interaction between the Hatfield and McCoys, as adverse as they were at that time. But a lot of it was out of fun and comedy to establish, you know, different games where you'd have the Hatfields on one side and the McCoys on the other side. So it was a lot of fun. At the same time, there was some background of it that was serious.
Ron, through your research, you've discovered many compelling narratives of the family feud. And it's a feud that when you read about it, it's back, forth, back,
right,
forth. One does something
mm-hmm.
bad. One.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give us your best overview of what we know to be true? What actually happened here?
The bulk of the feud took place between 1878 and 1890, a period of about 12 years. There were 12 deaths during those years. Primarily, the Hatfields were from West Virginia and would cross the river over into Pike County, Kentucky, where the McCoys lived. Randolph McCoy was a prisoner during the Civil War and returned home to find a much different environment that had been shaped by the war. Devil Lance Hatfield was very much protective of his own property. That's what they did in those days. They took care of themselves and their family. And what would happen is the Hatfields would come into Kentucky and be part. They had a timbering business and a moonshine business, and they were very much a part of the community, much to the resentment of Randolph McCoy. And that sort of lingering resentment boiled over and escalated to a point that it never should have.
And people were just, it was just taking revenge and vengeance one after another. And
It always tended to escalate. Three sons of Randolph McCoy attacked the brother of Devil Lance Hatfield, Ellison Hatfield, and stabbed him multiple times, shot him. He died several days later, and then the three boys were executed by the Hatfields for that. And it just went from there to the point that on January 1st, 1888, the Hatfields were finished with this, and they attacked the McCoy cabin in the wee hours of the morning, and after a long gunfight, set the house on fire with the family inside. That's a horrible incident, but in November of this past year, we actually did an archaeological dig at the site, both families.
We'll talk some more about that.
Sure.
Rio, will you tell us a bit about your grandfather and how he ended up to be the last Hatfield to kill a McCoy?
Well, that's interesting. That was in the Washington Post last year on May the 20th. And what had happened was he was a chief of police in Matewan, West Virginia. And he had a raid on an illegal operation in the city. And a gentleman there took the gun of another police officer and shot my grandfather three times in the back. My grandfather turned and shot and killed him. And later they found out that the person he killed was a McCoy. So it was in the line of duty from this police department. In fact, he was interviewed by a reporter on his, and it's very well documented in a book, interviewed on his glider on his front porch and said, "When are you going to go down and have the bullets taken out?" And he says, "I'll go down in a few hours, have the doctor to take them out." He never did go. In fact, that was in 1947. And I wasn't even born, of course, then. And then later I grew up, and when I was a teenager, the bullets had caused some internal injuries that they finally had to remove them. But that was after several years after that.
Are those bullets still around?
They are not. Unfortunately, they are not. In fact, there was one ring that he had that my father had made for him is not around either. So there has been some artifacts that have been lost through the years, but we also have been able to achieve receiving and keeping a lot of those things, especially from the diggers on the National Geographic that Ron and I were participated in.
Ron, your book documents the first national reunion of the Hatfields and McCoys in 2000. How did that event come about?
Well, it came about in 1998, when I really started looking back into my history, back before social media, back before the World Wide Web, you could still go online, and there were message boards. And I discovered a third cousin in Waycross, Georgia, Bo McCoy, whom I had never met. He was the grandson of my grandfather's brother, and I had never met him and had a desire to meet him. We had this idea we were going to have a McCoy reunion. And I said, "Well, Bo, I really would like to go back to Pikeville, Kentucky, even though I had never been." And I made a reconnaissance trip, and we agreed to do that. As we began organizing a McCoy family reunion, and an Associated Press reporter found out about it and did an interview with us and said, right at the end of the interview, almost nonchalantly, "Are the Hatfields invited?" And I told her, "I don't know any. I've never met one." She said, "Well, if you invite the Hatfields, you have something." And we said, "Well, sure," thinking no way they would want to come to a McCoy reunion. We agreed, and then it all broke loose. The national reunion of the Hatfields and McCoy family just sort of set the media ablaze. And we had national and international media. We had thousands of people from all over the country and all over the world that came.
And what was it like for the families to be reunited for the first time?
Well, it's interesting because Rio has always said that we're really one family. We're one hyphenated family, just forged by history. And so to acknowledge that is to meet people that I had never met before, and yet they were family. Meet complete strangers, and I'm your grandmother's cousin on the whatever. And it was just a revelation. The two families get along very well, as Rio alluded to. We have a lot of fun together. There is no animosity between the two families at all. That's long past. And in fact, we've gone out of our way the last 15 years to really promote unity and set an example of that.
Rio, in 2002, you were awarded the Real McCoy Award. Well, you're a Hatfield. How did that happen?
Well, I have to tell you, I attribute that to Ron and Bo McCoy, because it just goes to show you how we've become one family. And they recognized, or felt that they'd recognized, an event that I'd helped out in New York City when we were attacked on 9/11. And they decided what I had done was important enough to give me the Real McCoy Award, which I'm very proud of, I have to say. And it just was a time of all of us wanted to reunite us as Americans to be together, and not only just as Americans, but as family members for the Hatfield McCoys. And I wasn't even there when they did it that year. So it was amazing to get that award from them, the Real McCoy given to a Hatfield. It shows a lot of unity to me.
And Rio, will you tell us about the family truce signed in 2003? What inspired you to put that together?
Well, we had had several discussions about what we felt the family should be doing. And in 2003, I had talked to them about this truce because I felt like it was time to let the world know that if you attack the United States, you're not attacking just the American people. You're attacking the entire world, because we're made up of all people. And we thought that was important enough to recognize that to the world and show them that you're not you're attacking the act of freedom that is built in our society here in the United States, and that our families are families of different countries and different nationalities, and we are not just a one individual group of people. We're made up of all people. So we decided if the world's most famous family, the Hatfield and McCoys, would sign a truce and show that we will come together as one family to fight against any common foe of the United States and its symbol of freedom, that would be a symbol that they would recognize and understand sincerely that we would not and were not going to put up with anybody attacking our country, our people, and our freedom in this United States.
And Ron, your son was one of the youngest family members to sign that truce. What was that like?
He is. That's my favorite trivia question. People ask me feud trivia all the time. And fortunately for us, the feud didn't end in 1890. It still continues. The history of the families continues to this day. My son was 9 years old, and my daughter was 12. So I'm very, very, very proud of that.
Rio, what was the international response like to all of this? You were getting kind of wild requests, huh?
It was incredible, actually. It did go worldwide. I was getting copies from China and Japan of the actual release by the Associated Press and the CBS early show that where we signed it. And also, my son was in the Iraq at the time in the Marines, and we were getting in the Stars and Stripes. So it was a reaction that went worldwide, and not that we intended it to be. We just wanted to tell the truth, and the truth was we were not going to put up with people attacking our country. We didn't realize it would go worldwide. So the response was great. There was people calling us up, Bo and Ron and myself, asking us to perform weddings. We had a community in Florida wanted us to intervene on some interaction between two counties down there. They're having troubles. It was a lot of people involved in a lot of different things and asking for our assistance. And it was really unique because they thought if we could solve the Hatfield-McCoy feud, we could solve a lot of other problems. And it was even on Jay Leno about the Palestinians and Israelis. And the comment that I made was, you know, sometimes you have to fight, but you don't have to fight forever. So we got a lot of people calling us about that, saying, what can you do to help them understand that this thing needs to end? And we were willing to do anything that we needed to do, and we had a lot of requests. We didn't do anything there, of course. That's a government thing. But Ron was hit up with the same things as I was, and so was Bo.
Ron, you mentioned this earlier, the archaeological dig at the burned-down cabin. What was that? What was that all about?
In 2013, following the History Channel miniseries and that activity, National Geographic wanted to send their crew from diggers there. The McCoy cabin had been burned down and really never truly located. We kind of knew where it was. So they came in 2013 and used sonar and located the dimensions of the cabin, retrieved for the first time artifacts, retrieved bullets and stuff from the trees and stuff that were actually shot on that night, and then left. And then in 2014, the University of Kentucky felt there was much more work to be done, and they teamed up again with National Geographic to let's actually excavate and find what we can. And we as family members were invited back. That was a very moving experience to literally, quite literally, dig into history, to be there at my great-great-great-grandparents' home site and to be digging up pieces of porcelain and home artifacts, you know, utensils and actually to handle. We dug up pieces of the cabin itself, burned pieces of wood. We dug up pieces of cotton that was used to set the fire. So, you know, I liken that to finding a piece of the iceberg that the Titanic hit. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really was, and it was so moving. Rio was on site. Billy Hatfield is the great grandson of Devil Anse Hatfield was there with us as well. A couple of cousins, Edward McCoy and Linda Bergman, were there with me. So it was just hard to explain. The full emotional impact happened well after that. It was sort of set in afterwards.
There are now yearly Hatfield-McCoy Heritage Days in Pikeville, Kentucky. Tell us about those events and kind of the playful competitions now. There are no guns anymore. Playful competitions between the two families.
Actually, this year there will be guns.
Okay.
which normally we don't. But there is a commemorative 150th anniversary edition, commemorative rifle that will be there. There's a dealer in Colorado that's bringing those that Rio and I actually
But not used on each other.
No, of course
anymore.
Not. Of course
we've
not.
We've moved past that.
Well, we've not moved past paintball. However,
okay.
We will be having paintball and softball. The families will be there September 24th through the 26th.
Rio, have you been to one of these events?
Oh yes. In fact, we've had several events, and one event that it was talking about when you said guns was. Ron and Bo and I signed three shotguns that went to President Bush, the governor of Kentucky, Patton, and the governor of West Virginia, Joe Manchin. So those shotguns are still with those people today, and we were able to sign those. And at the last meeting we had with the Hatfield McCoys, we brought the extra shotgun that I had brought that down there, and we had them, everybody re-signed, and the National Geographic signed. I do want to say one thing about Ron McCoy now. Ron McCoy, when I showed up with the shotguns for our giveaway to the president and the two governors signed by us, he said, you know, only a Hatfield would bring shotguns to a Hatfield-McCoy reunion. And I thought that was the most comical thing I'd ever heard, because I never thought a thing about it as I'm carrying four shotguns to the reunion. But and he was talking about the diggers, Bob Scott and Tony Tackett from the Pikeville Tourists, and Bob Scott owns the McCoy homestead, was very helpful in getting that done for Ron, and Ron deserves a lot of credit for everything he does, especially his book.
Ron McCoy is author of the new book, Reunion, that documents the modern-day chapter of the Hatfield-McCoy story. Ron, thanks very much for being here.
Thank you so much, Phoebe.
Also with us was Rio Hatfield. He's the man behind the 2003 Hatfield-McCoy Family Truce. Thanks, Rio.
Thank you very much for having us.
Ron will be signing his new book at the Hatfield-McCoy Heritage Days in Pikeville, Kentucky, September 24th through the 26th. While many Hatfields and McCoys will be there, the celebration is open to the public. You can find out more information at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, a local food truck takes on a Food Network challenge. Stay with us.